I'm tired of being worried about being embarrassed that God may do something. Everybody prays for an awakening until one happens. We want it on our timetable. We want it in our style. We want it where our flesh is comfortable. And I'm going to tell you, where God manifests, the flesh is never comfortable.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. I'm so excited to be coming to Abba's house for All American Day on Sunday morning, July 7th. We'll have some great inspirational patriotic music from the choir, orchestra, and ensembles as we celebrate the freedom we enjoy as Americans. And I have a very timely message to bring to you that day called America's Coming Implosion. Through my years and experience as a pastor, my role as a Fox News contributor, and a member of the White House Faith Initiative, God has given me a unique perspective on our nation. I promise that you don't want to miss this important message. I can't wait to see you at Abba's house on Sunday, July 7th, for All American Day.
Greetings, Chattanooga. It's Pastor Ronnie Phillips, lead pastor here at Abba's House and founder of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. We're in the midst of bringing the Fully Alive Conference to your house. Man, this was a powerful conference. So many great speakers. The power of God fell on Abba's House like never before. But today I get to introduce to you a message from my hero, my father, Dr. Ron Phillips. Many people have asked me, is your dad still preaching? Sure he is. He's preaching about 8 weeks here a year. He travels on the road and he preaches and he touches this world and he mentors young pastors. You know, we're still a team. We've just switched seats. I pastor the church and he's our apostle. But he brought us a message on the quantum life. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, if you can learn to train your mind and get your mind to be set on the things that are above, not the things that are below, God will change your life. He will propel you into your future. And my father's going to tell you how to do that right now. You're going to be blessed. Enjoy.
As I studied more about quantum science, I discovered the quantum brain, the quantum mind. Because now science has finally caught up with Scripture. And I'm going to talk about that quantum life that's available to you because you're not living it. Most of you are living on such a low level. And I'm not talking about economics, the physical, your physical condition, anything else. I'm talking about in what governs your life, that you don't have a clue what God has for you. Here's the scripture, 1 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That's miracle working power. And of love, and here's the key thing, and of a sound mind. Now what I want to talk to you about is that sound mind. Now the word quantum means that which is beyond time and space. Everything that has to do with your flesh is governed by time and space. We have the law of gravity. If you climb on top of the church and jump off, you will not break the law of gravity. You will break your neck. You are subject to the three-dimensional world you live in as far as your flesh, your body is concerned. Now listen to me. The flesh is not of itself evil. Well, that really shook some of you up. Bella told me the other day, said, you're living in the flesh. I said, it's the only place I got to live right now. It's the only place you have to live, but there is another realm called the spirit. And when I read Carolyn Leaf's books on the brain, she's a neurologist. When I begin to read those, I begin to discover that those who are studying the brain are telling us now, never confuse your brain with your mind. Science believes, good science today believes, that your mind, our soul, survives your body. Now you remember in Luke 16, it said this rich man died and he went to hell. Now his body was buried. But it said in hell he lifted up his eyes. He could see. Being in torments, he could feel. He had never met Abraham, but he recognized him. He could talk. He could ask Abraham to have mercy on his brothers because he could still feel. Though the brain, that part of the flesh, was in the ground rotting, the mind, the soul, where indwells the spirit of this man, was still alive. That's why I'm careful with Alzheimer's people.
Come on, sir. Come on.
Their mind may be hearing what their brain and lips can't get tell you anymore. I've read the stories of 13 comatose patients who were told their families were told they were dead. And when they came back, they had seen heaven, most of them. And on their way back, they hung out over their body for a while. Because their soul, their mind, was still functioning. Science calls this the quantum brain. Now, point number one, understanding the quantum mind and the quantum life. The mind uses the brain to operate on the earth. Now, if you've got a computer and it crashes, but you've got a copy of your program somewhere else, you may dump that computer, but guess what? You still got, everybody say, the program. You are an ever-living, never-dying soul and spirit. That's who you are. And according to quantum neuroscience, 99% of who you are and what you do is your mind. And 1% of it is your body. You say, well, that doesn't sound right. Well, let me read a scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, in other words, that part of you that you can't see, the things you cannot see, are more real and more lasting than what you can see. But we allow 1% of who we are, our flesh, this body that won't live much longer than 70 to 100 years, we allow it, we allow its thoughts, we allow its brain, we allow its intake, we allow what it feels and thinks to govern 99% of what we do when it's only supposed to take 1%. Every day, are you ready for this? You receive, depending on what intellectual scale you are, between 50 and 180,000 thoughts every day. You can't even, your brain's doing that like a computer. You don't consciously think all that, but all those things are there. Every minute, most people make six choices. And the Bible says you could choose a curse or you can choose a blessing. And most of what you're taking in and responding to is coming out of your flesh or somebody else's flesh. Now, you need a Holy Ghost quantum mind. Number one. Number two, we talked about understanding it. I know you're totally confused now, but we're going to go on. The necessity of the quantum mind is going to get real clear now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to share four things quickly. This isn't a sermon, so don't think I'm through. You cannot rely, number one, on human talent. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. I, brethren, when I came to you, this is St. Paul, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You can't keep your nose in a phone, an iPad, and a television 18 hours a day and hear anything from God. That is controlling your mind as sure as a demon does. By the way, the word demon means through the mind. You can't operate that way. And we have bowed the knee to human talent. We'll fill a house up for human talent and neglect a man or woman of God. Because we operate on such a shallow realm.
Come on, sir. Come on.
Allowing this temporary body that can't inherit the kingdom of God. Read it in 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood can't inherit. You can't access the kingdom with this. Two, you cannot rely on human persuasiveness. He says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. This is Earth's greatest Christian, St. Paul. I didn't come try to be impressive or use logic or intellect, try to persuade you. I came here and knew if God didn't show up, wasn't anything lasting going to happen.
Amen.
I'm tired of being worried about being embarrassed that God may do something. Everybody prays for an awakening until one happens. We want it on our timetable. We want it in our style. We want it where our flesh is comfortable. And I'm going to tell you, where God manifests, the flesh is never comfortable. Number three, you cannot rely on human intellect and human history. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2. This is about to get strong. Verse 6, however we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. I don't care what their name is. Their flesh is headed for the ground. All of them, all of us. They're coming to nothing. Now listen to the next statement. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Where do you get that? He didn't have the New Testament. Where did he get it? From the Spirit. Listen to this. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Did you hear what he said? Before that light flashed in creation, God ordained a wisdom, and wisdom is when you have knowledge and understanding, and wisdom is how you do knowledge and understanding, how you live it out. God said, I prepared not only what you can know, but how to do what you know before you ever got here, before they ever exploded into being. I've done it. This happened before any of the history of this earth. Now watch this. He said it was ordained before the ages for our glory. Here's where our glory is, not in the flesh, but in a wisdom you can't see. Now watch verse 8. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. That's demons and the political world that they influence. They didn't know this wisdom. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd have known God's plan, that he was going to take the greatest act of weakness, dying on a cross, and make it the greatest act of strength and salvation and power that would ever be, they would have done something else. They would have never crucified the demons and the political leaders of Rome and the Jews. If they'd have known. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, and in the heart of man things God prepared for those who love him. Now you thought that's heaven. That's not heaven. What does the next verse say? God revealed them to us through his what? So why aren't you baptized in the Holy Ghost? If even science says you've got a mind and your spirit lives in your mind, and the only access you have to the wisdom that can flow into that, can change your life, comes from another dimension, and you can't get it through human intellect, you can't get it through human wisdom, you can't get it through the rulers of the world and political action, the only place it comes from is God. You say, well, I've got some good friends. Well, let me read a little bit about that. Number four, you can't rely on your natural man. Any natural man. Natural man is you without the Spirit of God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:11. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? See, nobody really knows what you're thinking but you. Even so, listen, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, why would you be afraid of the Holy Spirit? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. See, there are two quantum powers. There's the spirit of the world and demonic forces, and there's the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We're supposed to know the things that are freely given to us by God. And what are they? You don't even know. We have things freely given to us by God. They're hidden riches. They're hidden treasures. They're things already been given to you. Wish God give me some. It's already there. Now look at verse 14. The natural man, that's your flesh, your brain, your body, your hand, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. No way. They are foolishness to him. That's so stupid what they did over at that church. Listen. Nor can he know them. Did you see that? You cannot even know. If you're in the flesh and operating only on the basis of that 1%, that you can see and feel and touch and taste, you can't even know the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. Then he says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. In other words, if the Holy Ghost is telling you to do it, everybody else needs to shut up. Then verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Then I love this. We have the mind of Christ. Now, final point. How do we renew our mind to become a quantum spirit-filled mind? How do we do it? Now, we've talked about understanding it. And do you understand that we live in three dimensions, but God's in another dimension? And that we have to learn to sit with him in the heavenlies, that we have to learn that prayer opens heaven. Do you understand that there are angels and demonic forces that operate in that realm called the heavenlies, in that other realm, the other dimensions that come in and out, come and go out of that realm? Do you understand that there's a big, huge spiritual world, bigger and longer lasting than the three-dimensional universe you live in? Do you get it? How many get it? Say, I get it. How do you renew your mind to become the quantum spiritual mind? Number one, you got to remove every old pattern. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Everybody see that? You know what that is? Can't fight? Your fists won't do it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not of the flesh, but mighty in God. Watch this. Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing or high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now watch this. Bringing every thought into what? To the obedience of Christ. Now I'm not going to talk about tearing down strongholds, y'all. I've got a book on that. Because what I want to talk about is capturing thoughts. Now, you're going to have 180,000 of them. You're smart folks. Us dumber ones only probably get 50,000. You can't process them. Your brain is. It's humming all the time. Processing stuff. Your heart's still beating. Everybody check and see if your heart's beating. Your brain's regulating that. Do you know that right now? You don't have to think, is my heart beating? Right. It's regulating. If it stops, you won't have to think about it either. You don't have to command yourself to breathe while you're healthy. Your lungs are breathing. Something's operating, right? Something's going on. But there are thoughts that come into your consciousness. And what he's saying to us here, if we're going to have the mind of Christ and renew our minds, we have got to capture those negative thoughts. You ought to kill yourself. You're dumb. You're never going to get well. Are you paranoid? You know, somebody gets a twitch in their mouth, you think they made a face at you. I don't like me. I've seen people grind over stuff that they thought that somebody had done to them. The person didn't know they'd done and didn't even care. Am I telling the truth? Capture that bad thought. Quit programming your mind with it. And forget some of this bad stuff you did in the past. Weren't you forgiven? Quit thinking about it. Well, I just think we ought to explore your past. Put it under the blood. You say, how do you do that? Capture that thought, bring it into obedience to Christ. Well, you're no good. You're a sorry sinner. Look what you did back there. You ought not be doing this. You ought not be doing that. Come on here. I want to show you a cross. I'm going to take you over here to a grave. Get in there. Because when he was buried, my sins were buried with him. I capture that thought. I bring it into obedience to Christ. We do a good job casting down strongholds. We do a bad job capturing thoughts. Renew your mind. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not only to release these gifts in your life, it's to give you the capacity to allow the Spirit to control your thinking. And what I'm here to tell you is, you're not alone. You're not without resources. You don't have to think like you're thinking. You can have a renewed mind and the mind of Christ. Get rid of those old thoughts. Then you got to regulate them. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But they've got to be renewed. How do you do that? Romans 12. He says here, to present your body a living sacrifice. Now, Ronnie talked, that's what dying to self is. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed, this will be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. But where does it begin? Present your body. Hair, skin, bone, brain, nerve, flesh, digestive system, renal system, your limbs, your age. Present your body. And just go ahead and say, Christ died to get me a new body, so this is gone. This one, I'm going to take care of it as a good steward. But let me tell you, I know it's temple of the Holy Ghost, but I know I got something better coming. No, it's coming. And he said, if we will begin, and I love the grace movement. I'm in the middle of the grace movement. I'm here because of grace. But grace is not a license to sin. It just isn't. It forgives our sins. And one reason you have a hard time with the Spirit is because he's a Holy Spirit. Present your body. Let your choice not be shaped by culture. Be not conformed to this world. Let the Word and faith direct you to God's will. Prove, document, the will of God. How do you do it? By saying, I'm not going to let the flesh choose what God's will is for me. I present my body a living sacrifice. I ask God to renew my mind and that he might tell me his perfect will for my life. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that sounds real good, doesn't it? What does it mean? It means being submissive to the Father. Look what it says in Philippians 2, 6 and 7. He did not consider it a thing to be held on to be equal with God. Even though he was co-equal, he was willing to dwell in our flesh to save us. He was submissive to the Father. He made himself of no reputation. The mind of Christ isn't seeking a reputation. Number two, willing to sacrifice for others. He humbled himself, verse 8, Philippians 2, 8, became obedient to the point of death, death the cross. Willing to die for others. Three, he waits on a promotion from the Father. Even though he humbled himself, it said that God highly exalted him. He waited for his promotion from the Father, and it came after his death and resurrection.
Awesome. I tell you, once we learn the power that we have over our minds and how we can train our minds to think about the things of God, it changes everything. You can live the quantum life. If you want to live the quantum life today, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means that I mess up, you mess up, but the gift of God, it says, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and that if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God has raised Christ Jesus from the dead, we'll be saved. If you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, would you do that right now with me? Just pray this prayer. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Transform my mind and help me live free and fully alive. If you prayed a prayer like that, you're born again. You need to be in a church that teaches the Bible and you need to grow in your walk with the Lord. I want to challenge you to partner with our ministry. I want to challenge you to get this conference set. So many great speakers. In the morning sessions, we had powerful preachers. In the evening sessions, we had powerful preachers. Jensen Franklin, Bishop Bronner, Jason Crabb was here. Oh, so many great men and women of God. We want you to order it. Help us get this grace message to the ends of the earth. We hope that you will live the quantum life, not just today, but every day.
Deep within the heart of all of us is the longing to be fully alive. Through the struggles of life, heartache, and loss, it's easy to find ourselves empty, hopeless, and yearning for more meaning to our existence. Can you hear your heart crying out? Can you hear it calling you to be fully alive?
Get your comfort set of messages from Fully Alive online at ronniephillips.org. Order on CD or DVD, download MP3 audio, or stream them online. It's time to live fully alive.